right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And that's a pen!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes, what do you
see? This is the only live local consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776 on the John P. Listener line, on the text line, on the X Twitter at P. Creighton 1. Josh Vann's on the other side of the glass at the mass controls at IMJ Chevy on the X Twitter. On Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com. ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play. ESPN975 takes with you everywhere you go because you know you want to. Man, we got a lot to get to tonight. You weren't thinking, hey, you know, this no game locally on tonight, although you guys were watching one of the high school games and somebody was putting a holy beat down on somebody else. What did you say, 50-something points in the first half? That's a whooping. That's a whooping. But, you know, let me pose a question to you. I know you have a question to pose to me. We'll get to that in a little bit. But let me pose a question to you, Jay Chev.
You got my attention.
Did Dusty get away with one yesterday?
It looks like it.
Did Dusty get away with one yesterday? You know, how many times over the course of the year do we see Dusty's lineup and, you know, anger is a gift? It is Dusty's gift to all of us when he puts out his lineup 6 out of 7 times. Anger is a gift. We see the lineup and, damn it, Dusty, what are you doing? Yesterday, in a game that they flat out had to win against the Baltimore Orioles in their own building after dropping the first two in the series, had to win. Yordan Alvarez is getting a rest day. A day before they're actually going to have a day off. Yordan needs an extra day off. In a game they absolutely positively must have no matter what. No Yordan in the lineup. And you got Jake Myers and Martin Maldonado at the bottom of the order. And the overwhelming sentiment that I saw from people online, the overwhelming sentiment that I heard from hosts and fans alike on this thing called sports radio, was that, well, essentially, what the hell? That seemed to be the overriding sentiment. Dusty, what the hell? Well, for those of you who have short memories, lack the services of pay television, and do not have any friends, let me give you a little audio reminder of exactly how the Astros game against the Baltimore Orioles yesterday came to a conclusion.
Now Mauricio Dubon will hit with the infield in. There's a base hit to right. Astros walk it off 2-1. A game they had to win to maintain first place, and Doobie does it.
That is a beautiful team inning right there to pick up the dub.
And Mauricio Dubon, who has been hitting the cover off the ball since August 1st, driving in Yiner Diaz. Oh, yeah, we remember him. Talk about guys that need to play more. And the Astros get a walk-off 2-1 victory against the Baltimore Orioles. I said, in a game they had to win. In a game where your heroes are Yainer Diaz and Mauricio Dubon. Mauricio Dubon, who actually came in the game as a defensive replacement after Yordan pinch hit for Jake Myers, Andrew A. Walk. And then Dubon came in to run, played center field, and his only at bat with the base hit to score the run. Yainer, who had one hit and three at-bats, scored that run. It was not a great day for the Astros offensively. They only had five hits the whole day. Peña, Yordan, Chazzy Fizz, Jake Myers actually had a hit, believe it or not, and Doobie. Diaz and Peña had the only extra base hits. They each had doubles. In a day where, once again, the Astros had no answers for Kyle Bradish. But other things that were important. Welcome back, Christian Javier. Where have you been vacationing? Because outside of two bad changeups in the first inning, Christian Javier was brilliant. Five innings, one earned, three hits, two walks, 11 punch-outs. And understand, this was not Christian Javier suddenly throwing 94-95 miles an hour again because he was working 91-93. This was Christian Javier regaining his command. This was Christian Javier having filthy break on his pitches. Not just moving, but changing planes. Changing eye levels within a single pitch. These are the things that make Javier such a great pitcher. You saw that fastball with a little extra ride on it. Had a little more of that. Oh, wow, it looks like Javier's got that ride that looks like it's a riding, high, rising fastball. He's got that spin. He's got that delivery. It looks like the old Christian Javier. 11 punch-outs. Now, Javier gives up a lot of fouls. And Javier, in five innings, had 14 cold strikes, pretty damn good, 20 swings and misses, phenomenal, 21 foul balls. Javier just gives up a lot of foul balls, and it racks his pitch count up. But if Javier gives you five innings of one-run ball and he strikes out 11, you better damn well get a win. Welcome back, Ryan Pressly, who apparently figured out when to tap, when not to tap, depending on what pitch he's going to throw. And had a nice 1-2-3 ninth inning, which he threw a total of 9 pitches. And for those of you wondering, Ryan Pressly, ground ball, ground ball. Two grounders in his three outs. And that is what you want to see from Ryan Pressly. The pen came through. Starting pitching came through. They got timely hitting at the very end of the game. But it does feel like Dusty got away with one. And then there's the other elephant in the room which needs to be addressed. And look, we don't really want to address this, okay, because it means confronting something that we don't want to confront. It's one of those fears that we've always had that we kind of wanted to put in the background and not be worried about because, well, wow, he finally came back and he looked so good. But Michael Brantley not in the lineup against a right-handed pitcher on a day when Yordan Alvarez is not in the lineup, Uncle Mike must be hurting like hell. Now, he played the other day, and he had a nice strong throw to the plate. Uncle Mike must be hurting like hell, because for him not to be at least the DH, for him not to be in that game, tells me that this isn't, well, you know, he's a little sore. No, this is more than sore. If he can't swing the bat, he's hurting. And that really sucks. Because, you know, they waited all year for Michael Brantley to come back. He finally gets back at the beginning of the month, and here we are barely 3 weeks later. And Uncle Mike can't get in the lineup. I said, in a game they absolutely needed to win. Needed to win. I feel like Dusty got away with one. And, you know, trying to figure out, because how many times do we say, man, what the hell is Dusty doing? Dusty cost them this game. Dusty made these dumb decisions. Why is Dusty not putting out the good lineup? Why is Dusty, like, April and May, why is Dusty going to Montero when we have a lead? We know it's going to happen. Like, some of the decisions that Dusty's made this year, well, they haven't been as good as some of the decisions that he made last year, right? They just haven't been. And I am hoping that we get to the point, kind of like in the postseason. Remember last year, as we were coming down the stretch, there was a lot of concern about, hey, Dusty's, you know, using these lineups, Dusty's using the pen in this manner. But when we got to the postseason, Dusty kind of settled in on what he wanted, and that was what we got. We got the right lineup and the right bullpen usage. And I'm hoping that that is exactly what will transpire here. You know, Dusty gives you this is how I manage in a regular season, but then he also gives you this is how we manage in a postseason. So, can we get that postseason Dusty maybe like, you know, 9 games early here as we get down the stretch, 9 games left? Can we get postseason manager Dusty say now? Because that would be fantabulous. If we could just get a little Dusty postseason style now. Really appreciate that. Before we hit the break, tell you about our friends at BetUS. You know, BetUS has become my favorite sports book. BetUS.com, they have really easy interface to use. Even I'm able to use it. It's friendly on your laptop, on your mobile device, on your tablet. Wherever you are, easy, easy interface to use. It's also their 30th year of being a sports book. They're the original online sports book. 30 years, and for their 30th anniversary, they've got a special offer. It's 30 risk-free bets. That's right, up to 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect. They offer it. Nobody else does. Maybe somebody will give you one. Maybe somebody will give you two. Nobody's going to give you 30 bets where if you win, you get your money. And if you lose, well, you keep your money because it's protected. Not only that, BetUS also has the biggest sign-up bonus in the business, 125%. So you put in $100, they give you $125 in your account. Bam, right now, there it is. Go use it. Bonus, if you want to sign up with crypto, make that a 200% sign up bonus. And they got live in-game betting so you can keep the excitement going all day long. Take advantage of this 30th anniversary offer with up to 30 risk-free bets. Get Bet Protect and get started today. Go to BetUS.com. Or call them, 1-800-MY-BET-US, 1-800-MY-BET-US. Learn all the bonuses, all the special offers. 1-800-MY-BET-US, BetUS.com, sportsbook and casino, where the game begins.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, now with more nougat.
You're not cooking.
Pork chop sandwiches.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook.
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
This is actually one of those times where it behooved me that the Spencer talked for like 25 minutes. It's convenient. Because, you know, he kind of did the job for me. He put me over. Because I wanted to get to this part of the song by Vince Neil.
Thanks for having my back, Spencer.
I think this is also used in the movie Encino Man. This is from Vince Neil's first solo album after he and Motley Crue temporarily broke up. And the reason this song is apropos is because as we come down maybe the most exciting pennant race in at least a decade, maybe also the most stressful pennant race for fans here in Houston, for fans of the Junk Grabbers, for fans of the Coffee Sippers. It is very likely that two teams out of the three will go, and one team will be the friend who can't come. So the Astros have 9 games left, as they are currently, sitting in the catbird seat in the AL West. Now, that catbird seat is not very big, because it's a half a game. But it's a half game in the win column, and that matters. The Astros have 9 games left. 3 at home against Kansas City. And they better treat this like the playoffs and not like, oh, playing on the last place team. Then they have 3 in Seattle before finishing the season with 3 against the D-bags in Arizona. The Coffee Sippers have 3 at the Junk Grabbers, then they host the world champions, then they have 4 at home against the Junk Grabbers. The Junk Grabbers sandwich those 7 games with the Coffee Sippers with the Los Angeles drug dealers. So each of the other teams have 10 games, the Astros have 9. But that game difference, each of those teams needs to win in order to pull even with the Astros. 7 of the 10 games are against each other. It's going to be very interesting to see between the Junk Grabbers and the Coffee Sippers, does one of them dominate the 7 games or do they beat the crap out of each other back and forth? The Coffee Sippers have the harder schedule because they have to play the Junk Grabbers and the Astros. But the Junk Grabbers, they play their last 7 on the road. They're much better at home than they are on the road. And the last 4 are in Seattle. There is a very good chance those last 4 games will be the difference between whether the Coffee Sippers or the Junk Grabbers are going to the postseason, unless, of course, the White Walkers from Toronto suddenly, you know, somebody stabs them with some dragon glass and they're all dead. This is really shaping up to be the most exciting pennant race, not just of this year, but like I said, at least a decade. I mean, it's probably been 20 years since there's been a really good 3-team race where the 3 teams are this close. I mean, 3 teams separated by less than a game. You know, in the AL East, you got Baltimore and Tampa separated by 2 games. None of the other divisions really are close at all. The next closest division is the Central, where Milwaukee's got a 7.5 game lead over the Cubbies. Every other division is totally out of it. The Braves have been on a record setting offensive pace. They can score with 900 runs. The Braves' offensive numbers for the first inning this year are obscene. Like, you look at their average, their on base, their slugging, their OPS. In the first inning, everybody on the Braves is Hank Aaron. Everybody is like, I saw this line used on ESPN.com today was 1961 Hank Aaron. That's some serious numbers, by the way. The Dodgers, who, I mean, if you can point to a guy on that team whose body hasn't fallen apart yet, you might be able to point to two people. And they're still winning the division by 13 games. What they're doing in LA, as much as we hate the Dodgers, what they're doing is tremendous, because no matter how many guys they lose, they keep winning. Now, when you get to the postseason and your starting rotation has been clubbed over the head like a baby seal and you can't get enough starters, this is probably where they're going to get their asses kicked by Atlanta. But the fact that they're a 93-win team right now with 10 games to go, and they're just, injury-wise, they're in shambles. And that doesn't even count the fact that Julio Urias, who's not injured, is away from the team because he likes to abuse women. So he's probably donezo. But obviously they were counting on him. Guy's been a good pitcher, but he's a scumbag. The Braves are mauling everybody in the East. 14-game lead. Even the Twinkies. Man, the Twinkies, before the season started, I said the Twinkies could be an 85-86 win team, and that might be enough to win the division. With 9 games left, the Twins have 81 wins, and they're 9 up in the division. 85 wins is going to win that division easy. In fact, there's only 2 teams in that division that don't have a negative run differential of 3 digits. Right? The Royals run differential is minus 179. The White Sox are minus 182. And the Detroit Tigers are now minus 100. That is one. That division has 3 teams that are just obscenely soft. So right now, wild card standings. The Junkrabbers and the Coffee Sippers are essentially tied for that third wild card spot. They're a game back of the White Walkers. Which means if you win the AL West, you'd be the 2 seed. And if you lose the AL West and you get in, you're the 6 seed. That's a hell of a difference. And if you don't make it as the 6, well, you're going home. And one of those 2 teams, be it the Junkrabbers or the Coffee Sippers, one of those 2 teams is going to go home empty-handed. There will be no consolation prizes. And their team invitational will start pretty much that second week of October, right when the South Bronx Slumlords also start their team golf invitational. And if you're wondering, the playoff percentages, chant the opportunity. Your reigning, defending, undisputed world champion, Houston Astros, their player percentages are 90%. The Arlington Junkrabbers are 65.5%. And the Seattle Coffee Sippers are 60.5%. So even though the Coffee Sippers have more home games, they have the lesser playoff opportunity, because their 7 with the Junkrabbers are sandwiched around the Astros. And for the Junkrabbers, it's the drug dealers of Los Angeles. Easier schedule. Although, Astros fans all know, easier schedule means Bumpkus! when you decide not to show up. Now, we're going to get into your Houston Texans because maybe they're cursed. We'll hear from their defensive coordinator, Matt Burke. We will hear from their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick. And Jay Shev has a Texans question he wants to posit to me, and I believe BT is in on this as well because BT is also in the studio. So apparently there is a really pressing Texans question that is going to be posited. So you guys might want to get in on that as well. It's 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Next.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS.
So, I'm actually going to Guns N' Roses next week at Minute Maid Park. And earlier today, my date for that concert, a woman who married me, she said to me today she doesn't want to go. So it looks like, you know, like those that like that loser that goes to the concert by themselves. I might be that loser. And for those of you wondering, ZFG, I am not missing Guns N' Roses and Alice in Chains. And actually, Alice in Chains was the breaking point. When I told her that Alice in Chains was opening, she was like, Alice in Chains. She just went, eh. And then she didn't want to go. No problem. I will go by myself. I am not so proud that I'm like, oh, I can't go with all by myself. Hell no, I will go by myself. For that show, I will go by myself. Not getting me to miss that. See, my Giants are exactly where I thought they'd be, which is getting their booties whooped. 17-3. We're about a minute shy of halftime. Surprisingly, Daniel Jones has not thrown an interception yet. I think that'll happen, though. Pretty sure that'll happen. Let's see. How do you think my prop bets on this game are doing? I haven't been doing so well on prop bets. Brock Purdy, under 7.5 yards rushing. He's got 1 yard rushing. Christian McCaffrey, under 17.5 carries. He's got 10, but now they're up at 17-6. The Giants got another field goal. Very possible as we get into the second half of this game, Christian McCaffrey gets less work and Elijah Mitchell gets more work. We had Nick Bosa, two tackles. Nick Bosa, two tackles. Woohoo! And so really, the one that I'm looking for is Daniel Jones throw a pick. Daniel Jones throw a pick. All my props will hopefully hit. I also took the Niners and the 10.5 points because I was a firm believer this would be like a 33-14 game.
The only prop I'm worried about that I have, I had Darren Waller getting more than 6.5 reception targets.
Oh, just targets?
Just targets. And he hasn't gotten one.
No, he's got three targets.
So why hasn't Prize Picks updated?
Darren Waller's got two catches for 11 yards. He's got three targets.
All right, clearly my Prize Picks needs to be updated.
Bastards!
Go with BetUS, people.
BetUS, see that? Or if you want to use Underdog Fantasy, you can always use promo code Lance. Yeah, so I'm looking for the Daniel Jones pick. Because you know Daniel Jones supposed to pick like every game. So the Daniel Jones pick. Brock Purdy doesn't run because doesn't have to. Christian McCaffrey doesn't have to carry the ball 18 times because, you know, they're winning by a zillion and they give the ball to Elijah Mitchell. And Nick Bosa has two tackles. So we're good there. All right, so before the show started, you said you wanted to ask me a question because I guess something, this is something you guys were discussing. And everybody is kind of on one side and BT's on the other side.
Correct.
Okay, so what is this question? And like, what side is it that you're on and what side is it that BT's on?
Not even, I don't even remember how I ended up bringing this up in the conversation, but the question was if the Texans continue to, well, Texan and lose games, and the Chicago Bears continue to, well, beat the Chicago Bears and lose games, if Chicago calls Houston in the offseason and say, hey, we'll offer you the farm. Now, we did not decide what the farm was, if the farm consists of 3 first-round draft picks and this person and that person. We didn't define that yet. But we just said if the Chicago Bears offer the farm for C.J. Stroud, because if they feel like they're just the quarterback away and everything else is, you know, running pretty fluid, and for hypothetical world, the Texans can get that farm as well as being in the position to draft C.J. Stroud, would or would you not – sorry, Caleb Williams, thank you. Would or would you not pull the trigger on that trade?
Okay, so the scenario is the Bears have the number one pick and the Texans – well, the Texans wouldn't have the number three pick because they traded the number three. They traded that pick. So
right. You
have to say, well, the Browns also suck. But so let's say the Bears are giving up the number one overall pick plus, say, another first-round pick next year. And then let's say a fourth.
Right. We could work with that.
So 2 ones, including the number one next year, and a four for C.J. Stroud.
Right.
Let's break this down. And if you want to get in on this, 713-780-3776. If C.J. Stroud, who right now looks head and shoulders to be the best quarterback in this class, I don't want to say that I've been saying that since week four of the season last year, and that I wrote like 14 articles on it at the now no longer in operation, but site still up, gallerysports.com. I don't want to say that I just wrote like every week, C.J. Stroud. But C.J. Stroud clearly looking like the best of the draft class. Did throw for, what, 384 yards? I mean, it was ridiculous. He threw for a zillion yards on a team that can't pass block, can't run block, and can't run the ball because 4 of his 5 offensive linemen are not playing. If C.J. Stroud looks like an absolute boss, like he continues to just look like a boss all year, there's no way I'm trading him. There's no way I'm trading him. I am not trading a guaranteed surefire, I already know I have a stud, for a guy that I don't know will 100% definitely be a stud, will 100% definitely kick ass the way that C.J. Stroud has. Because what if Caleb Williams winds up being a guy who's really amazing in college and then gets to the pros and he's, you know, average?
That is certainly a possibility.
What if, he doesn't – what if he starts to, you know, have injury issues and isn't available that much? Why am I restarting my rebuild yet again if I have a guy that has shown me he is absolutely the real deal? Now, if we're at the end of the year and it's, well, you know, I'm not entirely sold on C.J. Stroud, then punch it. But to me, if we're not sold on C.J. Stroud, they wouldn't be making the offer. So to me, this whole scenario is predicated on C.J. is a boss. Justin Fields never figures it out.
Right.
And they want to basically kickstart their rebuild by stealing ours. I am not in this for any more embrace the suck. No more embrace the suck for me. If CJ is that dude, I'm riding with CJ. You keep FM picks. I'm keeping my guy. So BT is smiling and laughing. I'm assuming he was the only person.
He and I
just hit the hot tag.
Absolutely. BT was the only person on the other side of that line right there. So, quick question for you. Where do you think C.J. Stroud's ceiling would be compared to the other AFC quarterbacks. Like, where do you think he would eventually end up being ranked amongst them?
All right, we are not including Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes is QB God, and nobody deserves that level of comparison.
Absolutely.
Until they have done what Patrick Mahomes has done for like 4 years. So to me, that means the ceiling is Joe Burrow. Right, Joe Burrow would be healthy. Joe Burrow, number one quarterback.
Right.
Can C.J. Stroud be Joe Burrow? I'd say yeah.
Really? Woo!
Has the arm. Has the arm talent. Can make every throw at every level and is, in fact, more mobile than Joe Burrow. And one of the things that we're seeing right now with Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow gets hurt a lot. If Joe Burrow is going to be hurt, like, you know, and start the season where, you know, the Bengals are going to stink for a month, and then he's got to come back and be Superman, and he's capable of being Superman. Now, let's be fair. Joe Burrow is very capable of being Superman. But I would say that Joe Burrow would be the next best quarterback in the AFC after Patrick Mahomes. So Mahomes by himself, Burrow, Tua.
Where's Lamar in this picture?
Probably next.
Josh Allen?
I think Allen's another tick down. I think it's Mahomes, then there's Burrow, Tua, and Lamar. And then that's that bracket. And then Josh Allen is the next tier. Josh Allen maybe could get back up into that tier, but didn't show it last year, hasn't shown it this year. And look, Josh Allen is a really interesting study because generally guys who are horribly inaccurate in college do not suddenly get accurate in the NFL. But he had a little bit of a game changer. They went and got Stephon Diggs, who catches everything. If Stephon Diggs leaves after the season, does he go back to being 57% Josh Allen? Does he go back to, you know, wild chucker throwing picks, Josh Allen? Oh, wait, we just saw that guy week one.
I was going to say that guy did not leave.
You know, that if you're going to be the Brett Favre gunslinger, you better have the Brett Favre weapons who are going to catch the ball. And he doesn't have the old Brett Favre weapons. He has one cat. He's got Stephon Diggs, who gets everything. After that, not quite. Not quite. They don't run the ball particularly well. Why they don't run the ball particularly well, I don't really know. But they don't run the ball particularly well. And Allen is very turnover prone. So, yeah, I know the world loves to jump on Josh. Oh, but he could run. And bottom line, if you are not accurate in the pocket in the NFL, you will never, ever, ever get yourself one of those big, fat, fancy rings. Must be accurate. And it's amazing to me the love that Josh Allen gets as a running quarterback who's not as accurate as Lamar Jackson, who's always getting crapped on, who is a better passer and a better runner. And still doesn't have anybody like Stephon Diggs. Sorry, old OBJ is not prime Stephon Diggs. Let's be real. Having a rotating cast of running backs who blow out their knees every year is not the same as having, you know, running backs that you go play all year. No, Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Josh Allen has always been. A better quarterback than Josh Allen, and I would tell you will always be a better quarterback than Josh Allen. Why we even have to have that discussion is bull and spit. And I ain't talking about spit. Late hits.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Penguin goalie Peter Skudra says, "Hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper. I'll shoot the puck anywhere I want. And if that happens to be in your pooper, so be it."
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes. Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
That's funny you mentioned about where is Justin Herbert in this discussion. I think Justin Herbert's in that third tier with Josh Allen. He always has great numbers, and he's got some of the best weapons in football. But that team always seems to lose games. They steal defeat from the jaws of victory better than anybody in the NFL. They lose all these close games, and for whatever reason, close game, he can't nail down that final drive. He can't make it happen when it means the most. And I do wonder, like, you know, would they do better if they had a better coach? So the answer is probably yes, but the Spanos family is maybe the cheapest cheapos in the NFL, and I don't think they'll fire him because he's got another year left on his contract, and they probably won't pay him to, you know, sit at home because they're beyond cheap. That family is actually suing each other because one of the members of the Spanos family trust is allegedly just blowing money on things that the other members of the family trust are trying to get that money for, like, legitimate purposes. And one of them is just burning through money for S&Gs. So they're suing each other. That whole situation is a disaster. Nobody in L.A. wants the Chargers. Nobody freaking wants them. Why the Chargers with the second team to go instead of the Raiders when the Raiders already had a following there made no sense whatsoever. Because the San Diego, which means a whale's woo-hoo-hoo, the San Diego fans actually supported that team. And you flip the bird at them to go to a market that they're like, we don't want you. Why are you here? We're never buying your stuff. Sell your tickets to the other team. We don't care. The Chargers literally play 17 road games. I would never want to play for that organization. That ownership group is trash. I almost said a different word that starts with an A and has two double snakes in it, but I didn't say that word, even though it would also be accurate. P. Randizzle on the Twitter. If Deshaun Watson didn't get two knuckles in the tuchus, the Texans aren't searching for a franchise quarterback. They're not trading Stroud for anything. Stroud is that guy. So far, I think Stroud is that guy. And if he is, you sure as hell are not trading him no matter what. On the text line, if the Bears give up the number one, that's all I need. I'm making the trade and taking Caleb Williams. If all you're doing is swapping C.J. Stroud for Caleb Williams, you got rooked.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. You have to give me some other stuff as well.
Somebody else, I agree with Cray Cray. I guess that's me. C.J. can be Joe plus stay healthy. Look, I think he could be Joe Burrow. You see the way he threads needles in extremely small windows over the middle of the field between defenders. Usually rookie quarterbacks stay the hell away from those throws because they don't want to take that chance. Rookie quarterbacks, hell, second, third, and fourth year quarterbacks, do not want to make tight window over the middle of the field throws because those are the ones that get picked the most. And you see him, he doesn't just thread needles. He threads needles on anticipation throws. Look what he's doing with Nico. He's throwing the ball to where Nico is going to be before Nico even hits his break. CJ's going to be that guy. Somebody else texted in, OBJ has fell off that canyon Kim Kardashian totes around. I don't know what that means.
So more NFL dating rumors to go along with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Apparently, OBJ has been spending time with Miss Kim K. Not sure how Kanye feels about that, but
I think he gave up his rights to care.
I think he absolutely did in Italy.
I mean, look, I have no idea what disaster dating a Kardashian actually is, but I have a actually it's not true. I have a really good idea of what a disaster dating a Kardashian is. But considering all the work that she's had done, I'm assuming she's probably had that work with the daddy stitch done too. So, you know, this question was posed on the text line. I think it's an excellent question. Pick a concert: Led Zeppelin, Motorhead, and Janis Joplin,
or
Guns N' Roses, Black Sabbath, and Def Leppard. This is not as hard a choice as you might think it is.
The latter?
It's definitely GNR, Sabbath, and Def Leppard.
Really? Okay.
As much as I grew up on Zeppelin and love Motorhead, Janis Joplin is going to fall so far behind everybody else, GNR, Sabbath, and Leppard. Janis Joplin's going to be six. And yeah, that's not as hard. That's not as hard as of a pick for me. Not that I don't like Janis Joplin, but of those six, she's six. And it's six way out there. So yeah, that's not a hard one. That is not a hard one at all. I would take GNR and Sabbath. All right, before we hit the break, guys, how about my man, Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You know, I met Dr. Ben over 4 years ago. And finally, I finally went to go see him at the behest of friends of mine who kept referring me to him. I originally didn't go because I'd been to over a half dozen doctors in two different states, and nobody could fix my sinus issues. And I had been told, look, this is just something you're going to have to deal with. It is what it is. You're never going to be rid of this. I was like, I don't need to go see another doctor just to tell me the same thing, that there's nothing they can do for me. It is what it is. And, you know, and here's your Z-Pack. But I broke down. I went to go see Dr. Ben anyway, and it was the best freaking thing that I could have done. Because finally, I found a doctor that actually wanted to find out why I kept getting these sinus issues and wanted to address the root of the problem. I went to go see Dr. Ben. He's got a state-of-the-art facility up in North Houston. We had about a 30-minute conversation. I told him about what my issues were. I told him about all the different doctors that I'd seen, how they had treated me in the past, what they had told me, you know, in the past as far as what I was going to deal with and things like that. He says, you know what? Let's get a look inside your head. Let's get a CT scan and see what's going on in there. And I didn't have to go set up an appointment with another doctor or another location or a lab or anything like that. Went three doors down, took a left. It took 5 minutes. One of the great things about working with Dr. Ben is you work with Dr. Ben, not Dr. Ben and then this group and that group, and then you got to go see these people. No, you work with Dr. Ben, and he's the best. It turned out I had a staph infection on my sinuses that was highly resistant to all the antibiotics all these other doctors kept giving me. So I was living a 20-year roller coaster of that infection, getting strong weak, but never dying, because none of those other doctors gave a damn enough to actually find out what was going on. Dr. Ben did. So I had the procedure with him. He surgically removed that staph infection. That infection did a ton of damage to my sinuses. I had dead and damaged tissues almost completely blocking up my entire sinus. They did a balloon sinuplasty, and they got rid of all that damaged tissue, opened up my airways so that I could breathe. In fact, after I came out of the procedure, and it's an outpatient procedure. You're in and out same day, you're going home that day, you're back to work in 3 days, you feel great. I could tell as I was walking out the door that I could breathe better. That's how important it was. That's how much of a difference it made. They even fixed my deviated septum that I didn't even know that I had, but turned up, oh, look, deviated septum. Well, they fixed that too. And as a result, in 4 years, I haven't had a single sinus infection. I haven't even had a sinus headache. And because my airways are fully open, I don't snore anymore. Got rid of two problems with one visit to Dr. Ben Salento. So if you deal with sinus issues, if you deal with snoring, if you deal with sleep apnea, because Dr. Ben is one of the best in the business dealing with sleep apnea, maybe you're a candidate for the Inspire implant. Get rid of that horrible CPAP machine.
schedule your consultation with Dr. Ben Salento. Let him do for you what he's done for me, what he's done for dozens of other late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people around the greater Houston area. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe. Tell him I sent you by.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me.
Huh?